out.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
You're listening to the only podcast that admits they might know what they are talking about.
Sounds like something a guy in a van would tell me.
This is We Might Know Sports.
I love you.
What were my options again? Sorry. Come on! With Corey.
I hope everyone has a ball.
Heaven.
Don't listen to Stefan and his corrupt rules.
And Stefan.
Pacers versus the Mavs, which is, I believe, is also tonight. Oh, goddamn you, Siri. Stop. I've never once called you and, like, actually wanted to talk.
You said Pacers.
Pacers, yeah.
There's a no-hitter right now. Bottom of the seventh. Oh, never mind. No longer a no-hitter.
Wow! You know it's bad when Kevin's correcting people on their pronunciation of names. You know you're in trouble. You, sir, are god-awful.
That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook. It's time!
And here we go.
Wait, wait. Trubisky.
It's never easy doing these shows. Episode 142, Kevin and Corey. It's always tough after nights like last night. Losses happen. Not ever.
It's tough to watch a game with only one touchdown.
I mean, it's difficult times if you're a Syracuse football fan. Difficult times if you're a Tampa Bay Rays fan. I just so happen to be both of those when both your teams go down in non-glorious fashion, you know.
It's not that difficult when you're a Bucks fan, though, and Winston's overachieving.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at the positives. Corey's there for my positivity, apparently. College basketball season's right there.
When you're a Bengals fan, any team is more positive.
Yeah, got two wins. It's considered a success this season, I guess. We'll talk more about Bucks quarterback situations coming up. We don't have any notes for this show, so this could either be like a half-hour podcast or a really long podcast. We'll see. Unfortunately, Stefan is too busy being sad and upset about losing his opportunity to be back-to-back champ at NASCAR. Instead, he's going to have to take last place because I am not giving up second. That is for sure.
Yeah, he's in trouble in NASCAR.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Unfortunately, you want to get into that?
Let's cover the question of the week first, and then we'll go to NASCAR. Give me a little time to do some research over here. But first, we did who is better, Batman or Superman? Not Batman or Robin, as I was about to go into. This question reached 62 people, only 9 of them voted, Corey. Apparently, not big comic people following us.
What was the outcome?
67% said Batman. 3 picked Superman. And you did not vote, so that doesn't help either.
6-3. Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to vote Superman anyways, so.
All right.
It would have been 70%.
I mean, Batman's more relatable, I think, because he wasn't born on another planet, so everyone wants to be Bruce Wayne. I think that's how.
Well, while we're on the topic, you see Joker yet?
No, I'm seeing it tomorrow. No spoilers.
I didn't watch it yet.
All right. Yeah.
I want to, but I don't really have anyone to go with down here. I have no friends.
So go with yourself.
I could.
It's what I did with the Avengers, so I wouldn't see spoilers.
Yeah.
Especially if you go like during the day, like I know you have a new schedule, but I don't know your babysitting situation. But if you can go and find the right theater, like there's $5 Tuesdays near me.
That's a pretty good deal.
For a matinee.
What was I going to say? Oh, I did watch the first episode of This Is Us. I didn't watch episode 2 yet.
You haven't even watched episode 3. I'm... Alrighty.
The first episode was interesting. It threw me off.
Yeah, you're like, who are these people? What do they have to do? Like,
I was wrong. I thought I knew. I was like, the blind guy is definitely Kevin's kid. Looks like him. And then I was like, and this lady's got to be the daughter of someone, the military girl, and then just way off.
Mm-hmm.
The black family, I had no idea who they were.
No. I was like,
I had no idea who this is.
I was like, is this one of, like, I don't even know, because they had the Peterson bumper sticker, which kind of, like, set you in where they were. But the blind guy was the biggest one of all, and I think I made the connection just before Shay, and when she finally, like, made it, I was like, oh boy, here come the tears. And I think it was an interesting way to start the season, considering they ended the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's making you wonder, like, what's going on with Kate?
Right.
And how does, I guess, Kevin and, why am I drawing a blank on the name? What's
Randall?
No, the dad's brother.
Dad's. Oh, Nikki.
Nikki, there you go. How they become, like, better acquainted.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that comes in episode 3, mind you. So, you got some watching to do this weekend.
Yeah, I think Samantha wanted to binge it after we're done with the podcast. So.
Yeah, so there you go. I will say episode 2. What did episode 2 touch on? Just trying to think of non-spoiler.
Do they continue with the characters that we see in episode 1, or was that just a one episode thing?
I will say the only character you haven't really seen in the last or episodes 2 or 3 is the spoiler, the son. You haven't seen the blind guy.
Oh, okay.
So you will learn more about a little bit more about the army in episode 3. And then episode 2 is Kevin.
Okay.
Based, I believe, if I remember correctly. It's all kind of blurring in. Oh, and Randall. There is Randall in there as well. Randall. I think at the end of the episode, you saw him either moving out or into the new house because he won the election. So they'll continue on from that point. And then I think it's Kevin dealing with the change. Did Kevin do anything at the end of episode 1?
He got the phone call from Nikki. That was it.
Okay. So they cover more on that. And then also in episode 3, you learn about Toby more.
Okay.
And I won't spoil anything else. there's things happening. And it kind of makes you wonder, like, oh, well, maybe that's why he is separated or not dealing with Kate in one way or another. Very hard to not spoil things. So we'll move on to this week's question, which is sports related. And I've had a decent turnout. I just shared it again, so let's see if we got any more votes. Different time of day. I shared this on Monday morning or Tuesday morning, one of the two mornings. Which team will be the last undefeated team in the NFL? We have the Patriots and 49ers both undefeated still, including the Patriots win last night over the Giants, 35-14, right? Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah.
Right now we have 14 votes, a lot leaning heavily towards the Patriots. I liked it. Can I see the votes? We have three. Count them, three 49er votes. The rest are all Patriots. Not too surprised that some of these, I mean, Stefan, who's a secretly a Bills fan, Colleen, who's a Bills fan, and then a Niners fan, so. And then we also have a Bills fan, Bills fan, Bills fan picking Patriots, so 3-2 Bills fans. By the way, I don't have a Bills minute because Stefan didn't give me one, so.
Sure. Yeah, he said he wasn't going to.
I was hoping he'd, like, surprise me.
Stefan and I are very similar in our pick 'em this week.
Yeah. What's going on there?
One, two, three. Only 3-game difference. And he's got a 2-game lead, so I better be right on the 3 I pick.
Oh, boy. Hold on. Sorry. It's taking a little while for the computer to catch up. Last week, what did we do?
Last week, we all went 8-7.
8-7 during the regular week. Stefan's theory was to rely more on his preseason picks and then change certain ones, and that seemed to work out for him. Going 8-7 versus the preseason where he would have went 6-9. You made an interesting choice. You went from 49ers to Browns, though, from your preseason pick, which I found a little interesting.
Yeah, I'm not a believer in the 49ers. I know Stefan is. So I definitely am a person that thinks the Patriots will stay undefeated longer.
And we were all wrong on the Chiefs. That was my eliminator pick. Last week, that did not work out for me.
No, it did not. The Colts kind of showed the game plan of how to beat the Chiefs, although I know a lot of people say the Patriots already laid down the blueprint last year, but I think the Colts laid down a better blueprint, in all honesty, which was run the ball effectively and pressure Patrick Mahomes as much as possible. You can beat the Chiefs if you can do those two things. Marlon Mack is having a great year. No knock on Jacoby Brissett either. He's having a – I mean, everyone thought the Colts were dead in the water with no Andrew Luck. That's proving to be pretty false. They still are a formidable team. When they get their two defensive stars back, I think they'll be even more formidable. Darius Leonard and Maurice Hooker have both been injured the last few weeks. So that's huge blows to them, and they're still pulling out wins. To me, they're kind of scary. They're like that sleeper team that if they make the playoffs, no one's really going to want to play.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Mahomes got injured too.
That's the other thing. Apparently, if you can step on his ankles and injure his feet, that helps.
Mm-hmm. Go figure. You know, you take out one of his weapons and... He struggles. It's still scary, also, though.
Also, no Tyreek Hill. Sammy Watkins out early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't leave them many options. And we all know they don't have Kareem Hunt. Their running game is definitely taking a hit without him.
Sorry, I'm also trying to do research on the fly here for NASCAR.
I'd say one of the big picks you got right while we're talking football last week is the Cardinals over the Bengals, officially making the Bengals the trash of the league.
Yep.
I guess there's four teams that are trash.
Yeah. I posed this question to Stefan, hypothetically towards you, and so now I'm going to ask you this week. How does it feel to be a Bengals fan, a team that was going out and trying to compete and being on the same level as the Dolphins, who are tanking on purpose?
Yeah. I'm not that thrilled with Zach Taylor right now, but I'm also... You guys know how I feel about Andy Dalton. And Zach Taylor's guy, who he had coached in college a little bit, or at least in camps, I think, in quarterback camps, was Ryan Finley. They drafted him out of NC State. So I don't get, we're already 0-5, right? So why not throw him out there? Like, what are we playing Dalton still for? If we aren't winning games, let's see what kind of rookie quarterback you got, because if he sucks, we really need to be looking at Justin Herbert or Tua next year. So I kind of am hoping they make the change quickly. John Ross is out for the year, it looks like, on IR. So all we have is Tyler Boyd. A.J. Green's been hurt. Now there's trade rumors. A.J. Green to the Patriots. Zach Taylor came out and said there is no trade that's going to happen. But honestly, if you're the Bengals owner, you're a fool not to trade him because this is the final year of his contract. So you're going to get nothing. He's going to walk. You might as well trade AJ Green. It'll be a sad day because he's always been a Bengal, but he's always hurt, at least the last few years. Mm-hmm. He's injured all the time. So I'm okay with it. I think we're in rebuild mode, honestly. We're in rebuild mode. We aren't competing for anything. We're competing to try to be better than the Jets, Dolphins, and Redskins. That's all we are.
my other question also comes, I come into play here. You look at all these teams that need a quarterback, and Teddy Bridgewater, after two games, is looking quite impressive starting for the Saints. He's a free agent after this year. Would you want your team to go after Teddy, or do you think start off really young?
I guess I have a counter question. Do the Saints let him walk?
That's the thing.
I feel like they know that they need him, and mm-hmm. Breeze is pretty much done. I know Stefan scoffed at it. I said Breeze was in regression at the end of last year. It was obvious. He comes into this year not playing poorly, but not playing great. So there's definitely a decline. I just don't see how the Saints can allow Bridgewater to walk when there is an obvious decline, and Breeze doesn't have much time left.
Do you think the Saints sit there and go, hey, is it time to retire and re-sign Teddy? Or does Teddy even just test the waters to see?
Teddy might test the waters to see what's out there, and he's probably going to get a lot of money thrown his way. But if I was him, it's hard to say. I mean, I can't say that because I've never been in the situation where tens of millions are being thrown my way. But I would think you'd want to be playing for a team, because most of the likely the teams that are going to be going for him are rebuild teams. If you're playing with the Saints, you aren't in rebuild mode. You're in win now. You get to play for Sean Payton, who's an offensive genius. I would want to be there. But I get that if they tell him now you're going to have to be a backup to Drew until he's ready to leave, he might say, I can't do that. I need to have a deadline. If Drew has one more year, then maybe I'll stay.
Not to mention money talks. And
That's what I mean. It's easy for me to say, oh, if they offer me $100 million to play with the Dolphins, I'm turning that down because it's the Dolphins. It's $100 million.
Instead of making $11 million a year.
Yeah.
I do find it interesting, like some of these quarterback situations. You've got obviously the Bengals, the Bucks, you know. I am starting to feel like they're going to re-sign Jameis. Like, I'm starting to have these.
Which, I remember before the season started, I told you and Stefan thought that he wouldn't do anything. I thought Jameis is going to have a good year, and he's going to stay.
I didn't think he was going to do anything, but I also said he was the most likely to get re-signed. I think Mariota is always injured and never producing for the Titans, which is why I'm wondering why they haven't played Tannehill.
I don't get that either. Other than the Titans, what are they 3-2 or 2-3?
One of the two, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're staying afloat, which is probably why he has a job still.
You never know what team you're going to get either. So they just lost to the Bills last week. And the week before, they blew out, what team was it? The Falcons. Broncos? Falcons.
The Falcons. Falcons are, what, 1-4?
Yeah. And the week before that, they once again struggled with the Jaguars. I think it was like 13-12 or 13-10, something like that.
Right, right.
13-12.
Yeah, Titans are a tough team to figure out, and it's Mariota's play. It's been up and down. He's had good games, but then he's had really bad games.
Yeah.
But the only thing I can say is, can any of us, without looking or cheating, name all three receivers for the Titans?
I know I can't.
I can name two of them, and they aren't even that good. I mean, Adam Humphries is okay. And then Corey Davis is okay. And I think the other one's that rookie, A. Brown or something. But none of those are, like, great weapons, so I do feel for Mariota a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Delanie Walker, I don't know why he's not getting the ball. Unless he's finally old and isn't creating separation. I haven't honestly sat down and watched a Titans game.
No, I'm not exactly keeping that in one of my four squares of the TV.
Yeah.
Last week was a little tough. They had, what was it, 10 games, 1 o'clock games. Like, it was ridiculous. And then they only had two for the 4 o'clock games. So.
Right. I watched that Cowboys-Packers game, and in the morning I watched, I get to watch every Panthers game, obviously.
Mm.
So I watched Panthers-Jags. One of the reasons I kind of wanted Minshew from Matt, because I saw some potential against a good defense.
Mm-hmm. Buying in on the Minshew madness?
A little bit. The only reason I thought it was a fair trade is I still think when Foles is healthy, Minshew sits. I'm giving Matt a starter for the whole year, and I'm going to get a starter for just until week 9.
Yeah.
Unless Minshew starts playing out of his mind. And then it becomes a tough decision, I'm sure.
I mean, it also depends on the record, too. Like, if they struggle with Minshew in, and then they bring back Foles and they still struggle, do they bring him back in because he's putting people in the seats?
Right. Is Minshew the front runner for Rookie of the Year?
I think it's too soon. I'm trying to think of another rookie, though. I think that's the question, like, what other rookie would you give it to?
Sorry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to think off the top of my head. There's no rookie running backs that are dominating. Jacobs is okay, Josh Jacobs, but he's not having a stellar year. Marquise Brown has been pretty good for the Ravens, the wide receiver. No rookie quarterback besides Minshew is really standing out. Haskins isn't even getting a chance. Daniel Jones has just been a below average, let's say that. He had one decent quarter, but other than that, he hasn't played that great.
What? I guess there's a defensive end, Josh Allen for the Jaguars.
Yep, he's played well.
Devin Bush from the Steelers.
Is Bush a linebacker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Brian Burns, edge from Panthers. Christian Wilkins, Dolphins. Defensive. Kyler Murray's on this list as number 6. Kind of interesting.
Do they have Minshew number 1?
Nope. Still haven't even ran into him yet. Josh Jacobs from the Raiders, running back.
Yeah, that's who I said. He's been okay. I think Minshew's been better than all those guys, though.
Interesting. I mean... Like I said earlier, though, I can't even name any rookies without looking them up, other than Minshew. No. So,
Minshew and Kyler Murray are definitely the big names, and Jacobs.
If he stays playing for a few more games, I think you see him mentioned more.
If who they have this week, I thought it was a decent. Yeah, if Minshew somehow beats the Saints at home, the mania continues.
Oh yeah, Oh, I think it takes changes in the third gear, Minshew Mania. They'll start selling season packets, not just mini packets.
Yeah. If Jalen, I know there's just some discrepancy on if Jalen Ramsey's coming back for that game or not. So that'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Ramsey can go out there and shut down Michael Thomas, it definitely gives the Jags a chance.
My wise pick of the week, my eliminator pick at least, is going to be Panthers over the Bucks. Tampa never plays well against any team in London, let alone the Panthers. They very rarely have luck on their side. I think they didn't look as impressive. That was with Cam Newton as the quarterback. I think the Panthers look a lot better without Cam in the offense, which is kind of weird because that team's built around him. So
it's accuracy. His accuracy, last year he was playing phenomenal until he got hurt. Like everyone was saying, he was an MVP candidate. And then he got hurt. And then he came back this year, and something was noticeably wrong because he was playing really poorly.
Yeah. I mean, he was making Jameis Winston look amazing with his accuracy. Like,
yeah.
It was like every third pass would hit the receiver, and that was about it. He was either overthrowing or underthrowing.
So hopefully he really does sit. I don't care if he sits out the whole year. Because, like we all said, Andrew Luck had to sit out a whole year before he could come back from the same injury. So I don't even know why Cam came back in the first place. Hopefully he comes back and they look better and my prediction comes right because the NFL's right.
Stefan's taking the Texans over the Chiefs. That's kind of interesting.
Are those the two best young quarterbacks in the league? This is their first time ever going head-to-head. Are we interested in seeing Watson versus Mahomes?
Not really. I'm just not sold on Watson. Like, Goff versus Mahomes was great to watch.
Yeah, but Goff has regressed.
He didn't regress necessarily. Like, I just feel like people are starting to figure out the Rams. Like, against Tampa, they lost, but he also threw the ball 61 times and had, what, like 600 yards passing? Something like that?
Well, Gurley's definitely regressed.
He's got no running game. I think that kind of makes it harder for him.
I know, and Gurley's out this week.
Because I know, like, last year they had C.J. Anderson, which is a name I never thought I would speak of again, and yet he's playing with, forgot who, Patriots, Dolphins, something like that.
Yeah, the Rams are going to start Malcolm Brown this week, who's actually, with limited touches, outplayed Todd Gurley.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, apparently I was a year off. I mean, he didn't have a bad season last year, but he didn't look good last year either.
Ooh, Gurley?
Yeah.
He had 20 touchdowns, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he didn't look bad, but he didn't have, like, I don't know.
He's a touchdown hog anyways. I mean, this year he hasn't looked great, but he has 5 touchdowns in 5 games. So, I mean, he just gets touchdowns.
Trying to look at the other matchups as I'm going through mine and looking at your guys' picks. Does this week get you to buy in on the 49ers hype train if they beat the Rams, though?
No.
No? You just think the Rams are trash then?
I picked the Rams to win.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
The Rams are sitting at 3-2. I'm not impressed yet. I want to see the 49ers beat the Seahawks and I'll be impressed.
You really think the Seahawks are that good though? Like,
yeah, I do. I think the Seahawks are going to blast the Browns, to be honest. I'd be shocked if the Browns compete.
I'm surprised we're all taking the Chargers this week.
That's kind of just a bum game.
Yeah. Chargers, Steelers.
Like, there's rumor of Mike Tomlin being fired in the middle of the season, so.
And I kind of struggled with the Packers-Lions game, just the way the Lions have been playing. They're still,
I know.
Like,
One thing that's interesting is we all thought the Packers would be the trash of the division, and they're clearly the best.
Mm-hmm.
Not clearly, because the Lions are good, too.
Well, let's rephrase that. Their defense is the kings of the division.
Yes.
It's kind of like that meme I saw of the Simpsons with, like, Belichick pedaling a bike as a Simpsons character, and they had the police, and then one of the other police officers from the Simpsons was also pedaling, and it said the defense, and then Tom Brady was Chief Wiggum being carried along. So,
you said you didn't have much interest in Watson Mahomes, so what game this week are you curious to watch?
Well, I get to wake up at 6:30 in the morning to watch Tampa Bay versus Carolina, because I'm kind of interested to see how Tampa does against a different Carolina team. But that's more personal than anything. I think, let's see here. Eagles-Vikings game is trash. Means nothing to me. Redskins-Dolphins to find out who the worst team is. That does nothing for me.
Because looking at this, to be honest,
kind of Saints Jags.
I think Texans Chiefs and I guess Texans Chiefs and 49ers Rams are the two most interesting games to me.
You're not really interested in Saints Jaguars?
No.
The two backups going against each other?
No, but going off of what we just said, the Lions Packers is interesting too on Monday night.
That doesn't count. It's Monday night. It's never interesting.
So, yeah, I'm going to stick with Texans, Chiefs. To me, that's the number one on my list. And then number two, I guess to see how I feel a little bit about the 49ers, Rams. I'll be more of a believer if the 49ers can stop the Rams in L.A.
I won't, because, you know, Tampa took care of the Rams in L.A. Just saying.
Yeah. And what ended up being a shootout.
Who can score last? It's always fun. Yeah, so there's the NFL for us going into next week. Let's get rid of that. While that closes, let's pull that up. Are we allowed to talk about NBA in China? Did you want to talk about it?
You can speak on it a little bit, because I don't really understand what's going on.
I don't either.
Okay. I saw this morning that Trump made comments about Kerr and Popovich, and Kerr doesn't want to talk about it. But I don't understand what all that is.
Yeah, like, I kind of understand Kerr's standpoint of not making comments while NBA players are over on foreign soil, where they could be held in some prison camp against their will. Well, Trump is kind of like egging him on. Do it. Just do it. Got no problem calling me out. Why can't you call out a foreign government?
So what's the deal? Like, what was said? What's the issue?
It was a tweet made by Houston Rockets general manager about Hong Kong and everything that's going on there, which I don't really understand too much, so I can't really speak on what's going on in Hong Kong.
I know it's their government is commie, basically.
Well, yeah, it went from England to China, so I don't know. I'm just not surprised that it's going on, I guess. Maybe that's why I'm not as interested in it. I think it's got something to do, long story short, with the ruling about extradition to China. And I think Hong Kong people can be taken from Hong Kong and tried in China, where the rules are a little more aggressive against certain things. So,
yeah.
Something like that. Sounds right. And there have been riots going on in Hong Kong, and there's been a lot of public, in the U.S. at least, outreach to try and solve it. some way other than riots, the big riots that have been going on. And one of the general managers tweeted out just like 7 words, I support Hong Kong or something like that. And China took offense to it. Mind you, the NBA over in China is a $1 billion company over there as well. A lot of money at stake. So Silverman addressed the situation basically saying that the general manager is not losing his job. China didn't like that as much. And Americans were confused by this organization that's leading the way and all these other situations like women referees and women coaches, and they're being very progressive. And then all of a sudden, when it comes to a country that involves a lot of money, they are taking a more neutral stance, I guess, where it's just like, well, we support free speech, but, you know, yeah, they're not coming out against it, but they're also not coming out for it. So it's kind of like a,
like, yeah, okay.
So that's my summary. That's all I understand. I mean,
that's more than, I didn't know any of that. So,
yeah, okay. So. Silverman was supposed to meet with Chinese officials and then have a press conference, which then got canceled, thanks to request by the Chinese. They just didn't want any interviews while the game was being played over there. And then the second game, which is happening like 20 miles away from Hong Kong, the NBA decided not to do any press, which is kind of smart. Gotta remember, what ball brother got arrested like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
For stealing. So I can only imagine what could happen for talking out or slipping up against them. So it's an interesting situation because players obviously can be detained and held against their will in a foreign country. Like, it's kind of hard to speak out against. Like, I get why they're taking the stance they are. And it's going to be more interesting in the next couple weeks when they come back from China. Or as Trump likes to call it, China. And I think China. I think Trump just is taking offense to it based off of the fact that Kerr and Popovich have spoken out against him. And obviously, because we live in America, nothing's going to happen to him, so...
Right.
He's just a little butthurt that nothing's happening about the whole Hong Kong thing, I guess. I don't know. He's not very diplomatic, that's for sure, of a president, so.
No.
But he's got his own issues going on in Washington, so. My last Trump comment, and then we'll move back to sports, is... He's also running under the 2020 as Make America Great Again slogan still.
But he is?
Yeah. I can't remember what I saw, but it was a 2020 campaign, and it was just like, Make America Great Again. It was like, well, I thought that was your goal last time. So what? It was an easy win for you, Trump. All you had to do with your slogan was... Let's keep America great again. That's all you gotta do. Add let's keep. Alright. Moving on. Let's go to NASCAR. What happened in Dover? Well, I can research Talladega.
Dover was a 2-car race. Kyle Larson and Truex dominated. There was some crashes that took out some big name drivers early, or actually in the middle of the race. Chase Elliott being one of them, which was unfortunate for Stefan. Really put a damper on his three-peat chances. Still possible, but unlikely at this point. Dover is my favorite race. The monsters of the Midway people. The trophy's cool. It's this big old monster-looking thing. So yeah, like I said, Larson and Truex were clearly the two best cars. They were battling back and forth almost all race. Larson was able to edge it out in surprising fashion. I think it's been, I think they said 52 races or something since Larson's last win. And that got him into the round of eight automatically.
Win and you're in. That's something Stefan and I got to learn while you were not here.
Oh, you didn't know that?
We didn't fully understand if it was like, if you won, are you safe in general, or does that move you on to the last stage? So we figured that out.
Yep, win and you're in. He's in the round of eight. And that's somebody that I thought would be on the outside looking in. So good for him and his team. Makes the next two races really interesting, particularly this next race, Talladega, because it's a restricted plate race. So there's going to be lots of crashes and lots of vying for points. So it could be a heavily crash-riddled race. But I'm excited. We'll see how it goes. Having said that, I think Brad Keselowski will win. It's his best track. He really could use a win. It's been a while since he won a race, all the way back in since Kansas, which, interestingly enough, his two best races are Talladega and Kansas, and those are the next two before the next cut. So I think Keselowski's going to make a push in these next two to win one of them.
Interesting. I am stuck with a tough decision here. I have five remaining. You're going Keselowski.
I'm not going. I don't have the choice.
Well, that's what I mean. You're picking Keselowski as your favorite to win.
Yes.
Last time they were in Talladega.
The drivers in mind, because I wasn't sure if you would take Keselowski, not because I said it, but I'm sure you did your research and you see how good he is compared to the field. There's really only one other driver that's consistent as him, and that's the two that I'm going to go between, Keselowski or Hamlin, basically. Spoiler. Hamlin's the best restricted plate racer in all of NASCAR.
Well, I can't pick Hamlin, so that doesn't help me.
Then there you go.
But I have someone that fits my theory here. And I'm just looking to see how he did. Ooh, interesting. I think I'm going to take Keselowski. I was looking at Alex Bowman because he came in second last time. But last year he came in 33rd at Talladega after starting 7th. So he was crashed.
Yeah, because it's one of those races, especially a young driver, could easily get caught up in a wreck. That's why someone like Keselowski or Kyle Busch or Denny Hamlin of that will normally win, because they'll hang out in front and stay away from all the wreckage.
That leaves you with Hamlin.
Yeah, I'm gonna, if you're taking him, I'm taking Denny Hamlin. And I don't know what Stefan's gonna do.
He's gonna cry a river. We can see if yeah, we'll remind him after the podcast. I'm not too worried about it.
He probably doesn't care too much.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. At this point, I would just like give up and not make any more choices. That way I can come in second. Be a gentleman, Stefan.
Haven't you come in second every single year?
No, I came in last year. Oh, no, I did second.
Yeah, I thought I crashed and finished in last.
Maybe.
I think I've been last both years, and you've been second.
I think... Oh, I'd have to go back in the archives to figure that one out. It sounds right, though.
I think you're Mr. Consistent with NASCAR.
Oh, yeah, I was second because I remember I had the lead and then lost it going in the chase the first year. That's right. Thanks for reminding me, Corey.
Yeah. You're Mr. Consistent with NASCAR. You're right in the middle.
Mr. Second. Always a bridesmaid or maid of honor, never a wife, apparently. Is it always a bridesmaid, never a bride? That's a dumb. I like mine better.
So hopefully we all get to see a little bit of Talladega. Should be a fun one. Especially if you catch the last 20 laps when they're all going to fight for the win, there's going to be crashes.
What is going on? Sorry, my screen's frozen on the window.
Last week, did you guys go over who was eliminated?
Eliminated? What do you mean? Oh, the three? No.
Kurt Busch, Ryan Newman, and Eric Almirola. And there's one other. Four were eliminated. Who's the fourth? I can't remember. I know Clint Boyer just made the cut, and so did Alex Bowman by coming in second.
Looking it up, sorry. Who?
Ryan Blaney.
Ah. We did find it interesting, like, if you make the chase, you automatically go to 2,000 points. If you make the next one, you go to 3,000.
3,000, yeah.
I think that's where we get confused, too. No, that wasn't Ryan Blaney. Blaney made it.
Who is it, then?
Eric Jones.
Oh, okay. Jones, Almirola, Kurt Busch, and Newman are out.
Yep. Blaney is 12th right now, so he's on the cutting line. He's got 30-10.
So Blaney needs a good Talladega because he's actually good at the fast races. Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting. He could fight for the lead, for the win.
Right now it's Blaney, Elliott, Boyer, and Logano.
Wow, Logano?
Uh-huh.
That'd be a shocker if Logano gets cut.
Currently, Logano actually is tied with Will Byron, so.
I expect Byron to get cut and Logano to make it.
You heard it here first. All right. Let's move on to Stefan's favorite sport, college football. I never would have thought I'd hear that day.
Yeah, that's all he's looking forward to now.
Mm-hmm.
So are we making changes to these games? You guys didn't seem too happy with them.
No, it's fine. We've got it. Everyone's made their picks. We were just questioning the picks. That's all. That's what happens. Welcome to my shoes.
We could move two of them because they're sweeps.
It's fine.
What?
I said it's fine.
Oh.
I have enough different from Stefan right now where I feel comfortable keeping it this way.
You're one different than him, right?
Two.
What's the other one?
Oh, one. Excuse me. I need to gain on both you guys, so.
Yeah.
And by
I'm two different, so I'm good with it.
So we picked Syracuse, North Carolina State. I thought someone would bite on North Carolina State. I was pretty close. I'm surprised
Stefan was going to be the one.
Yeah, I thought Stefan would have taken North Carolina State. Proved him wrong by taking Syracuse. Sucks for him. Cincinnati favored 58.9% this week against Houston. We're all going Cincinnati. That's just a dumpster fire. I don't know if you saw the player's tweet about hold scrum, but yeah, it's going quite well in Houston. Never really would have thought a college team would tank on purpose.
Yeah.
Then we have Penn State versus Iowa. We're all going Penn State except Stefan. Stefan's going Iowa. So
there's a lot of people are saying that's the game of the week.
Check.
I thought maybe two people would take Iowa. I thought Joe might. He seems to like Iowa.
Yeah, I think Penn State's just been more impressive. I know Stefan said last week or the week before that he wasn't impressed with Penn State, but I've been, so I'm going to not worry about that one. Yeah, Penn State is his, whatever, my team, USC. There you go. Apparently, because he took Maryland last time we had this game on the board. That didn't work out for him. So,
yeah.
Penn State only 3% less favored in this game than the Maryland game. So there you go.
Stephen. The Maryland game that they won 59-0.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll only be like 40-0. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll throw Iowa a bone. 49-7. LSU, Florida. That game I'm looking forward to. I want to see what Florida's really made out of now that they've had some games under their belt. We're all going LSU, though, because I think LSU right now, honestly, is that fifth team in the playoffs.
I think what's interesting about LSU is they actually have an offense to match their good defense that they always have. And what Florida has is pretty much just a good defense. So it could be a low-scoring affair where LSU ekes it out, is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious. I'm curious to see how good that Florida defense is. If they're really good and LSU can't put that many points on the board, Florida has a chance, although Florida's offense is average. So yeah. It'll be interesting.
And then this one I found interesting only because I thought we were off of the Nebraska hype train, and then you brought them right back, and you and Joe are taking them against Minnesota. Steph and I have more faith in Minnesota, who's 68.2% favored in this game.
I'm not ready to jump off the Martinez bandwagon. He was a huge recruit coming out of high school. He hasn't played quarterback that poorly. It's their defense that can't do anything. So I'm curious what happens.
Trying to see who Minnesota's beat so far. Minnesota. With wins over San Diego State, Fresno, Georgia Southern, Purdue, and a blowout of Illinois. It'll be a good test for Minnesota, at least. They're 5-0.
Yeah. Who has Nebraska played?
See, Cornhuskers are 4-2 with a 14-point win against Georgia, Southern Alabama, excuse me. Colorado, they lost to Northern Illinois. 44-8. Illinois, they only beat 42-38. The only light game on their schedule so far. And then the blowout against Ohio State, which is Ohio State. And then they beat Northwestern 13-10. So.
They played a little bit better competition, but they have losses. So.
Yeah. And some the Illinois game is their light game. And the fact that it was in Illinois. What about Minnesota?
But that's what I mean. They had to score 42 just to pull out a win. Nebraska's defense is troublesome.
And they held Illinois to 17 points.
Minnesota did,
Minnesota
right?
Minnesota did, yeah. So.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see that.
Nebraska can put points on the board, but they can't stop anybody. So it'll be, can Minnesota either A, put points on the board with them, or two, hold Nebraska's offense down.
Yeah. Still, Nebraska 2-1. This would help for their Big Ten West chances. The only other team in the West is Wisconsin, so. In Iowa, I should say. Team I find interesting that's dropped off in the Big Ten is Northwestern. They had, like, they're like the Syracuse of the Big Ten. Like, just. They had, like,
what's
one
interesting
good year.
To me that I didn't see coming is a lot of supposed college football experts that I've listened to down here predicted a big regression in Syracuse, and I kept saying, how? They have the same team except Dungy. Like, how are they going to fall off this bad? And they've been right, and I just am, like, shocked. I really didn't expect this fall off.
I mean, I think one of the biggest things with Syracuse is even Dino Babers wasn't convinced that his team was going to do that great this year. He's like, keep your expectations down because this isn't the same team as last year. So,
yeah,
I get where they're coming from. And maybe we had those horse blinders on, like, oh, we did this last year. We can do it again this year with a almost same team.
Mm-hmm.
One thing with Syracuse, I will say, it's like they seem to find a play that works and then run away from it as fast as possible. Their one scoring drive, actually, like, they were throwing the ball down the field and they were getting pass interference calls because they were clearly pass interference. And then the last drive of the game, they were just like, nope, we're going to do short runs and little passes that keep the clock running. Why not? It's one thing I've been interested about Dino Babers' coaching style is he doesn't really have good clock management. He's wasting timeouts when not really needed to. He's running the ball in the middle of the field. I mean, these are all things I've noticed and just kind of overlooked because he went 10-3 last year, but now that, you know, losing usually brings out those naysayers, so it's like writing was on the wall. Like, can't be too surprised. I like Dino Babers as a head coach, though. He's good.
So is Syracuse sitting at 3-3 right now?
They are 3-4.
3-4,
or 3-3, maybe. Yeah, 3-3. Sorry.
So they still have a chance at 10-3 if they can rattle off wins.
But at this point,
because honestly, besides Clemson, I mean, yeah, besides, well, actually, the teams that they've already played, who else has a shot at beating them?
Pitt, Florida State, Duke, Louisville, Wake Forest.
Okay, what team realistically has a shot at beating them?
All of those.
You think so?
Duke is currently 3-2. I think the only team they might not lose to is Boston College right now. Louisville is surprisingly good right now. Wake Forest is 5-0, and they always seem to struggle with Wake Forest anyway. So
Wake Forest was predicted to be on the upswing. So I'll give you Wake Forest and Florida State, because Florida State has their quarterback back, and they definitely look better with him this year. That Florida State Clemson game is interesting because North Carolina gave Clemson a battle. I'll be curious to see if Florida State can do the same.
Their game coming up next Friday against Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh's the team that held Penn State to 17 points.
Yeah, I don't think Pittsburgh's a scrub.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see this team go 4-8 again. Optimistically, 6-6 is well within their range. I don't see anything more than 6 wins before a bowl game.
I think they're going to beat Duke. I think they'll beat Boston College. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to beat Louisville. Is Florida State game at home or on the road?
It's on the road.
All right, that's a loss probably. Pitt game home?
That's a home Friday night.
That's an interesting game. I don't know who's going to win that game.
Syracuse is 0-2 in the ACC Atlantic bottom. They were predicted to finish second. So
is that Wake game on the road?
Wake is at home.
There's opportunities to go. To go 8-4.
I just feel like the 8-4 is a real big stretch right now with the offense, the way it's been playing. I mean, and this isn't just like a all of a sudden type like offense complaint. We've seen it all season. They beat Liberty 24-0.
Last year they went 10-2. They only lost to Clemson and Pitt, right?
Yes, sure.
Okay.
Notre Dame, they went 10-3, I think.
Oh, because they lost in a bowl game?
Yeah. No, they won the bowl game.
Oh. But I thought you only played 12 games in the regular season, so how'd you go 10-3?
That's 13 plus bowl game. 12 games plus bowl game.
Oh, okay. Okay. So they went in the regular season. They went 9-3?
Yeah.
Okay.
They lost to Clemson and then lost in overtime to Pitt.
And then what else did they lose?
Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah. You said that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh. That was the only game Dungy didn't play in.
Okay. So they went 9-3, and then they won the bowl game. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this year, 9-4 is possible. They could go 8-4 and then win a bowl game. We'll see.
You're thinking really optimistic. I'm gonna be happy with a 6-6 with the way the team's been playing. I think their offensive line is garbage, and that's terrible for a young quarterback. They can't get the running game going in the games they need it to. When they win, they have that running game going, and I feel like that's part of their offense, and DeVito can't be your leading rusher.
I personally don't think DeVito's even that good. So.
He's a good passer. I will give him that. But when your running back's only leading the way with 31 yards, I mean.
Syracuse's defense has regressed from last year, too.
Yeah.
Those big plays that Clemson had against them this year did not happen last year.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that this is the same Clemson team either.
No. So, we'll see. Come back to me after the Pittsburgh game. We'll talk. Maybe my opinion changes. I think I said Syracuse was going to be 9-3 or 8-4 at the beginning of the season. I know Joe said 10-2, and we were trying to figure out where those four losses would come from mine, but at this point, they're already there, so it's going to be interesting. Almost there, I should say. 3-3, halfway there. Three more wins, you're in a bowl game. Congratulations to the Gasparilla Bowl.
Pinstripe Bowl, here they come.
That might be a stretch for them. Major League Baseball playoffs got underway. Also, quick update, U.S. at least good in CONCACAF, up 4-0 already 18 minutes into the game against Cuba. So suck it, Cuba. MLB playoffs, it looks like Corey and Stefan paid more attention to the Major League Baseball than I did, which is a lie because I'm pretty sure I'm the only one that watches baseball out of the three of us.
Yep.
I went with the favorites, the Dodgers. They burned me. They're out. And what was the other?
I don't know if you're going to learn that Clayton Kershaw can't win.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had high hopes. They were up 2-0. Blew that lead. Whatever. Braves. Did I pick the Braves? I think I may have picked the Braves. I don't remember. It doesn't matter to me anymore. My team's out. Major League sucks. See you next year.
Anything else?
My dad's a Cardinals fan, so I guess I'll just go with him and root for them.
I mean, it doesn't really matter at this point. Coming from the West, it's all going to matter about the Yankees-Astros matchup for you.
Yeah. I need those Yankee bats to be on fire, which is interesting because Houston's been getting by with great pitching. So,
Interesting fact coming out of the Astros, Rays series is the home team was the one scoring. I think the road team only scored 7 runs in all 5 games. So I guess home field really does matter.
I guess so.
Am I missing anything, or are we done? I'm
trying to remember. I think we're pretty much caught up on this week's of sports.
This is why we have a sheet, usually. it was finals week for me, so.
This is off topic, but I'm a little bit curious about the Joanna versus Karate Hottie tomorrow.
Yeah, that one's interesting. Trying to think.
I think it's for free on ESPN Plus, right? It's not pay per view.
Yeah, it's ESPN Plus. Joanna weighed in at 15.5, so the fight is officially on. Joanna was. There was news that Joanna called the UFC and said she's not going to make the weight cut. And then I heard her and she said that was nothing. Not true, something like that. I don't know. Interesting situation. Who else is on that fight card? It's a decent fight card.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to watch it tomorrow night. Because the fight underneath it was interesting. I want to say it was Condit, but that could be wrong. Who was it? It was somebody I like. A male fighter.
Looking it up. Anderson. Cub Swanson versus Crone Gracie.
Swanson. It was Swanson. I want to see how the young Gracie can do against a battle-tested Swanson. That's the good fight.
Trying to see Max Griffin versus is fighting. He's an interesting name. Yeah, those two fights at least. That's down in Tampa. And then next week after that, it's on ESPN2 with Chris Weidman versus Dominic Reyes. That's a good one. And Yair Rodriguez versus Jeremy Stevens. Oh, is this the... Oh, wrong one. Greg Hardy is also on this card. So that'll be interesting to see. I'm surprised the UFC still... Isn't Greg Hardy the former football player?
Yes.
Is that who I'm thinking? Right.
Yeah, they keep pushing him.
Yeah. He's got two...
That's on the card tomorrow?
Yep. No, that's the next week.
Okay.
Next Saturday on ESPN2. And then... Wow, there's 3 fights before the next pay-per-view. Maya versus Askren. Strapoli is on that card as well. So there's more there. And then we get to UFC 244, Masvidal Diaz. That's like the only fight I'm really interested on that card.
Yeah. Oh.
Wait, hold on. Sorry, I didn't update. Never mind. Give me a second. It won't go to it. Interesting. It's not showing me the fight card. There we go. Gaslam, Till, Johnny Walker, Corey Anderson, Stephen Thompson. It's also in Derek Lewis. Start the pay-per-view. That's right. It's all coming back to me. It's not a bad card, but it's not like, woo-hoo-hoo card.
In a few weeks or a month or so, right, our the big card comes up, right? Diaz Masvidal.
Yeah, that's what I was just talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then the big card is December 14th. Usman versus Covington. Holloway versus Volkanovski. And Nunes versus Jermaine Durandamy. Three belts, one night, live from Las Vegas. It's the last pay-per-view of the year.
The November card, I'm only interested in the main event.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in that fight, but the rest, I don't really care.
So, we got stuff coming, UFC-wise. Next week, we'll be a little more prepared. We'll have more time. I know I won't be in finals week, so I will be more prepared at least.
And we could have all three of us back finally.
Maybe. We had all three of us last week.
No, you had you and Stefan last week.
Did I?
Yeah.
I thought that was 2 weeks ago. I don't remember.
No, last 2 weeks ago, all three of us.
Alright.
So we're on a 2 week span of just two of us.
Just the two
of us. And then next week, it'll be all three, but then in a little bit from that, it could just be Stefan and I, right?
Yep. Any day now. Any day.
Any day.
The world is changing as we know it. Joker, watching that this week. And we'll see.
You'll let me know how I've watched a whole bunch of reviews, but the spoiler-free reviews. The same people normally do a spoiler review, and I've chosen not to watch any of those.
Yeah.
So I'll ask you how it is without spoiling it.
Whether or not Joaquin Phoenix deserves an Oscar.
But I did hear the news that Jared Leto is really heartbroken about the whole situation.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he played a good Joker in the Suicide Squad.
I didn't watch it. So. Once Suicide Squad got panned by the critics, I didn't even watch it.
It wasn't too bad. It was an interesting movie. We'll just leave it at that. Harley Quinn looks interesting. I think
it's interesting. Harley gets her own spinoff.
Yeah. So, that one looks interesting. We'll see. Will Smith's new movie came out, I believe, this week.
Gemini Man.
As well, yep. Yeah. That one just looks like a rip-off of Bruce Willis movie there. I remember.
Looper.
There you go, Looper.
I loved Looper.
It was good. I liked it. I don't think I need a Will Smith version of it, though.
Yeah.
All right. Until next week, maybe Corey will have caught up on This Is Us.
I will have caught up by the end of tonight.
He says.
Playing on.
Always cool. A-Town. Philadelphia, you suck. And maybe next year, Stefan.
And get well, Errol Spence Jr. Welterweight champ of the world. Got into a serious car wreck. His Ferrari flipped over 5 times. They aren't saying the extent of his injuries, but hopefully he has a good recovery.
Shout out.